Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our daily communion meditation, where today we're talking about balancing supply and demand. So for the last couple of days, we've talked about supply and demand. We talked about how in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, there was all this demand put on the people. There were rules and laws that they had to keep, and unfortunately, they couldn't keep them. They didn't have the ability or the power within themselves. They didn't have the supply to be able to keep these demands. The law demanded righteousness and holiness and perfection and all these things, and the people couldn't keep it. But in the New Testament, the tables have been turned. In this new covenant that we have, Jesus fulfills it. And now God, Jesus, becomes the supply. He supplies our righteousness, our holiness. He makes us perfect. He supplies the wisdom and the grace and the leading and the knowledge and the power. He supplies. And we talked about there's this supply chain. We've seen it in our world here just in the last couple of years with COVID and these types of things. What supply chain issues can do to cause and create shortages in our world. There's this supply chain. We have to learn how to receive this supply that God has given us. His supply is always more than enough. We have to learn how to receive that supply and get it flowing through us out into the world where we see the result of it, we see the fruit of it in our lives. But I was looking at this idea of supply chain and supply and demand a little bit. And one of the concepts that kept coming up over and over was balancing supply and demand. Suppliers don't want to oversupply way ahead of the demand. Because then you get this inventory piling up and these types of things. Sometimes there's waste. And so in a similar way, I believe God also balances supply and demand. Now, on one side, he's always more than enough. Whenever a demand is coming in life, we've got these demands coming at us in life every day. We've got demands in our home life and our relationships. We've got demands in our health and our fitness. We've got demands in our workplace. Got demands financially, things that need to be met. Whenever these demands are coming at us in life, God's supply is always more than enough. But I do believe he's not wasteful. He wants to balance this supply and demand. So as we increase the demand side of this, I believe it also increases the amount of supply that we see flowing in our lives. Now, how are we going to increase that demand? I think it comes back to a very simple principle, which we talk about often, which is, where is the pressure? In life, we can put the pressure on other people. We can put demands on them, put the pressure on other people. In life, we can put the demand on ourselves, where it's all up to us to fulfill, to supply. Or we can roll that pressure over onto God and put that demand on him, roll those cares over on him and trust in him to be the source of supply. Now, as I've been thinking about supply and demand, I always think of the story of Jesus out in the remote place and the people are hungry. He's got thousands of people and he begins to feed the multitude. This high demand was put on him. He rolls that pressure over to God. He breaks the bread, symbolic of communion, and the supply begins to go. God begins to meet the demand. The supply is sufficient. Actually, it's more than enough. They've got baskets full of food left over at the end. But of course, he's not wasteful. He has the disciples all pick up those baskets. And I believe in one of the stories, it was 12 baskets full. You can think of it as one for each disciple. Not only was there enough for everybody, but there was leftovers, one for each disciple. It was more than enough. So we're going to be taking communion over this today. Just asking for God's help for wisdom and insight. How this balancing of supply and demand works in our life. And we're asking for his help to teach us how to walk in this consistently, the way that he designed it to function. But why are we taking communion every day? About 10 years ago, I pretty much had no spiritual life whatsoever. I was just doing things my own way, had no connection with God whatsoever. But life wasn't exactly going the way that I wanted it to go. I was stressed all the time, feeling all that pressure and demand of life on me. I was trying to run my personal training business. It was very up and down, losing thousands of dollars some months. I remember going for a walk with my wife one evening in the neighborhood. and just telling her over and over, there's got to be a better way to live. There's got to be more to life than this. Shortly after that, I came across this challenge to start reading one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day. It said, if you read one chapter from the book of Proverbs every day, it will change your life. Proverbs has 31 chapters. So on the first day of the month, you read Proverbs chapter 1. Second day of the month, you read Proverbs chapter 2. And you keep going like that until the end of the month. And then you start back over again. And I had been doing this for several months. And God was starting to work on me. I'm starting to grow a little bit of a relationship with him. He's beginning to renew my mind about some things. And one morning, I came across this verse in Proverbs 13, 22. It says, a good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. And that verse got me thinking, what's the most valuable thing that we can pass on to future generations? After some time of thinking about it and meditating on it, I came to the conclusion that the most valuable thing that we could pass on would be wisdom or teaching or training for how to truly live. So I made a commitment that day. I want to create manuals. I want to create systems. I want to create teaching and training for every area of life. Areas like purpose and health and family and finance and time, all the different areas of life. I want to have teaching and training for all of those. But really, when I got started, I had no clue where to start. So I began to seek God. My relationship with him just began to grow exponentially. He began to show up. He began to supply. He began to teach me and to train me. I began to put that demand on him. And he began to supply. He began to teach me and to train me. And over the course of about 10 years now, it's turned into this whole program we have called the Abundant Life Blueprint, with books and courses and partners. But out of everything we do, the most important thing I would want to pass on to future generations, the most important lesson I want to teach is on communion. Communion is what I call the number one table turner for all of life. It has the ability to turn the tables. When our life is going in the wrong direction, it has the ability to turn situations around and change the trajectory of our lives going forward. Jesus says, as often as you do this, remember me. Over and over in the Old Testament, we see God telling the people, don't forget me. Don't forget your covenant with me. Remembrance is very important. It helps us to abide in him so that our lives produce much fruit. The Apostle Paul says, every time we take communion, we're proclaiming the death of Jesus, which in the case of a will or an inheritance, nothing happens until you prove the death. So in a way, communion is like an activation of all these benefits that are found in the new covenant. And personally, I found it's this opportunity, it's this way that we can take these promises that God has made and we can activate them in our life. And we can begin walking in those promises from this point on. They just begin to grow and grow and grow from this point on in our life. And we can combine the spiritual principles of the sacrifice of Jesus to pull that into our mind and remembrance, and combine it with something practical and physical that we do to help us to remember. Physical things help us to remember. You've probably got triggers in your house, certain things that you see or touch or smell that trigger certain memories in your body. Communion helps us to remember with something physical that we actually do. But it's also important we take it the right way. Every time we take communion, we take it with the fear of the Lord, with just deep awe and reverence and appreciation for the sacrifice of Jesus. And I think it's important we remember both sides of the cross. On one side, we remember God didn't have to send him. He could have left us on our own with all these demands of life without the sufficient supply that we need to walk this life out. He could have left us on our own, doing our own thing. But he chose the way of love. He chose to send Jesus, his one and only son. And Jesus was willing to come. He's rejected by his own people, betrayed by his own friend and disciple. Spit on, hit, whipped, nailed to the cross. Worst part of all, I believe, he's separated from God. He felt what it was like to have God against him, to have the cup of God's wrath poured onto his body. But then on the other side, he's raised back to life. He's victorious over death. And that same victorious power now lives on the inside of us. He makes us right and holy and perfect. He connects us back to God. can have this personal relationship with him, and he becomes our source of supply. He fills everything. The fullness of him who fills all in all. So the process we typically use, we start with about a 2-minute long prayer that's mostly scripture, coming from Ephesians chapter 1 and the prayer of Jabez found in 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And then we take a few minutes to examine ourselves. Because the Apostle Paul says some people are weak and sick and they die early because they don't examine or judge themselves before taking communion. And if communion has the power to do that in the negative, I believe it has the power to do the opposite of that in the positive if we'll take it the right way, to make us healthy and strong and give us long life. And then after our time of communion, we've been talking about some practical physical workout tips and advice. Because I truly believe the principles of physical exercise are meant to teach us how to exercise our faith, to receive this grace by faith and experience God doing the work through us. And then once we understand how to do that, we can take those same principles and apply them into the other areas of our life. So let's get started with our prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are watching or listening, their families, all those connected to them, and all of our church and governmental leaders. I thank you for releasing us from darkness and transferring us into the light, into the kingdom of your dear Son. I thank you for your purpose and grace given to us in Christ Jesus before time ever began. And I thank you that Jesus was smitten for us so that you could fight for us. And I keep asking that you, the Father of glory, would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we would know you better, that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know the hope to which you've called us and the riches of your glorious inheritance that is in us and the immeasurable greatness of your power to us who believe. The same power that you exercised in Christ when you raised him from the dead and seated him at your right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And you put all things under his feet and made him to be the head of the body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Father, I ask you to bless us, to make your face shine upon us and let us find grace and favor in your eyes, to expand our borders and our territory, to expand our capacity to receive your purpose and grace, your love and your goodness, and to let it flow through us so that we do good and are a blessing to people all over the world. I ask you to send us opportunities to do good and be a blessing today, and help us be sensitive to those opportunities. I ask you to keep your hand on us and help us do today what's right and best in your eyes, and to do it with peace and joy and confidence in you. We ask you to stretch out your hand to heal and do signs and wonders and keep us from evil and pain. Through the mighty name of Jesus, amen. All right, so we're going to go through the other half of prayer. This is our time to examine ourselves. Are we making today a masterpiece? And remember, masters of anything are masters of the fundamentals. And that's what we talk about, executing these four fundamentals today and bringing some presence and some energy and some fun into them. And how are we going to make today a masterpiece? We're going to get connected to the master. We have to have this eternal perspective with God, but our relationship with him has got to be brought down into today to impact all the areas of our life today. So our first one, let's get positioned in the light today. This is the on-off switch. Either we're in the light or we're in the darkness. There's no in-between. And we got to keep repositioning ourselves back into the light every single day. How are we going to do it? We're going to start with humility. Jesus says, you want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? You got to humble yourself like this little child. Because it's the humble who are given grace. It's the humble who are exalted and promoted. We're going to humble ourselves in relationship to God, humble ourselves in relationship to other people. And we're going to receive this forgiveness from God. We're going to let it flow through us. We're going to forgive ourselves in the middle. We often forget to forgive ourselves. And then we're going to let that flow through us to other people, giving them the same grace and forgiveness that God has given us. We're going to take our position in love today. kind and patient and gentle, always assuming the best, keeping no record of wrongs, delighting in the truth, always hoping, always trusting, always persevering because love never fails. And we're going to take our position in gratitude and praise today, one of the greatest expressions of faith. And it's one of the easiest ways to maintain our position all day long is to stay positioned in gratitude and praise. And when we get in our position, we're stepping into the light. We're stepping into Christ, which puts us in position to receive all that God has for us. Imagine a quarterback and a receiver. The quarterback's throwing a pass and the receiver runs the wrong direction. He's out of position to receive. So when we step into the light, we step into Christ, we get in position. We have this amazing opportunity today. We have access to everything that God gave to Jesus. His spirit and power and presence, his love and peace and joy, his mind and wisdom, his health and energy, his time and finances. We have this unlimited, inexhaustible supply of everything that God has. And this is where we have to learn how to receive this. We got to get in position. And then we got to learn how to get this supply chain flowing, where we learn how to get all these good things through us out into the world, where we see the fruit of it. And it's where it's important we balance supply and demand. We got to put some demand on this today. So our first one is to get in position. Our second one is to magnify the light. To magnify is to make bigger or greater. And it's going to expand the capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. It's also going to get this new covenant rooted and established in our heart. It's going to give us hearts that understand God's grace, so that we become more fixed and consistent and immovable when the issues and pressures of life come our way. And to magnify the light, it's all about what we focus on. Where's our focus and attention throughout the day? I think of it as meditation. And when I think of meditation, I think of constant repetition. What are the things I'm repeatedly thinking about and rolling over in my mind? And you've probably had this example where you had some issue or problem. And the more you thought about it, the more you toiled away in your mind trying to figure out the answer, the more you talked about it with people. Actually, the further away from the solution you came. It seemed like the problem just grew bigger and bigger on the inside. Well, that same principle works in the other direction with the things of God. If we'll begin to magnify him, this light will begin to grow. It'll begin to expand that capacity where God can flow more of all these good things through us. So how are we going to do it? We're going to magnify God's word. His unfailing love and faithfulness, his mighty works that nothing's impossible with him. We're going to magnify our righteousness in Christ. We got peace with God. We got his blessing and favor on our lives. Magnify every good thing that he put within us. And just stay focused on all the things that are going well, because what he started, he's going to finish. He's going to see it through to completion. He's going to sustain it by the power of his word. Now, this is not denying that there's issues or problems. It's simply choosing not to magnify them, not to keep toiling away in our mind, trying to figure them all out. Instead, we're going to let them go. We're going to give them to God. We're going to rest and we're going to trust in him. We're going to magnify him as bigger than those problems. But he does give us the choice. We could choose not to do any of this. We could stay stuck in pride and rebellion, bitterness, unforgiveness, venting, complaining, pouting, magnifying the ways people have wronged us, magnifying the issues and problems that we're facing, rather than resting and trusting in God. And that's where we're going to recognize the symptoms. Because wherever we're positioned and wherever we're magnifying is going to produce some symptoms in our life. When we're out of position, magnifying the wrong things, it might be the tendency to retaliate at people. We might snap at them. We might withhold good things that we know to do because they did something we didn't like. We might avoid people or give them the silent treatment. And none of those are the way of unconditional love and grace. On the inside, you might feel this heaviness and weight and pressure like it's all sitting on you. You might have feelings of hopelessness or helplessness or powerlessness. You might say things like, you know what, this is just never going to get better. This is the way it's going to be for the rest of my life. Low energy is another big symptom of this. Think of it like a black hole. It just sucks the energy right out of you. Then emotionally, there's the fear and the stress and the worry. There's the toiling in our mind, trying to figure it all out, the torment in our mind. We're dreading things in the future, envisioning all these worst case scenarios, playing out all these scenarios that'll probably never, ever even happen. But when we take our position in the light, there's this rest in our soul. There's this fullness and completeness in Him. And when we rest, God goes to work. And now everything is free and easy and effortless. You feel your faith and your courage and your energy levels begin to rise up, and His peace and His joy and His mind and wisdom, His health and energy, all that abundant supply just begins to flow through us. He begins to bring these beautiful solutions into our life. Beautiful solutions are ones, I like to say, that we can't make happen on our own. They're truly a gift of grace. God begins to bring the perfect solution at the perfect time. And a lot of times the solutions that we come up with ourselves, we just create more problems, we create more side effects with the solutions that we come up with. The solutions that God brings into our life, we just rest, are beautiful ones. They begin to create ripple effects for good across the different areas of our life, setting us free in so many ways. And if all this weren't enough, God gives us this amazing gift of grace. If we ever get off track, it just takes a moment to turn it right back around. Every day, life's throwing stuff at us to try to knock us out of position, to try to get us to magnify the wrong things. And sometimes we miss it. Sometimes we get off track. If that ever happens, it's learning to recognize those symptoms and get back on track quickly. How do we do it? We recognize those symptoms, then we humble ourselves. Father, forgive me. I've missed it. We forgive ourselves. If we need to say we're sorry to somebody else, we take those steps. And then we just start praising and thanking Him for His grace and His goodness and His love, and that what He put within us is more than enough. What He put within us is more than enough. And I like to pray this very simple prayer. Father, thank You that what You put within me is more than enough to handle whatever's coming my way today with beauty and grace. I'm asking for Your help to help me tap into this and cultivate it and see it flowing at a greater level in my life today. You pray that simple prayer, this weight will lift off you on the inside. You feel His peace and His joy and His love just begin to wash over you on the inside. It's a beautiful thing. Then our third fundamental, we got to stay tuned in today. Every day, God's trying to teach us and train us and navigate us throughout the day, but we got to stay tuned into Him. My favorite way to do this is with the journal before bed. And lately, we've been talking about installing what we call some filters at the top of our journal. These filters are just short phrases or a sentence that we write, and we keep writing it every night before bed. We've been talking about changing out and installing some new filters at the start of every month. These filters are commitments that we're making, dedicating ourselves to a new standard in our life, to walk in God's ways of doing things. So a filter might look something like this. My body is God's temple. My body is God's temple. And as we go throughout the day, we're going to make decisions to help us navigate us to walk that out, to nourish and care for and take care of our body as God's temple. And then I like to start my journal with gratitude and praise to get in position and to magnify what went well today. What are all the ways I saw God showing up today? Because the more we look for them, the more of them we're going to see. And then I like to ask this question, God, what were You trying to show me today? And just get still and listen, reflect back over the day. Whatever comes into my mind, just begin to write those things down. It's important to get it out of our heads and onto the paper because it helps us to remember and not forget. And then we got to stay tuned in as we go throughout the day. He's trying to navigate us throughout the day. But if you ever feel like you're losing that connection with Him, just take 1 to 2 minutes. Just slow down, take a couple deep breaths, get aware of His presence with you. Think of it like plugging in a phone. You're going to get charged up. You're going to get powered up again in Him. And then the final thing I've learned to do in my journal is to plan the upcoming day with God. And I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? Because I learned sometimes I was getting out ahead of God. I'm toiling away in my mind, trying to figure things out, trying to force things to happen ahead of schedule. I'm getting out ahead of Him. On the other side, sometimes I was getting behind God because I was procrastinating on things that I knew to do. And so I've learned to stick with, what do I know to do today? And that becomes the plan for the day. And then we wake up like a kid on Christmas morning, excited for the day, because this is the day that the Lord has made. And we remember this very important principle, that the first thing out of our mouth every morning sets the tone for the whole day. As I began to learn about this, I began to seek God, what's the best thing for us to say? And I really felt like he was taking me back to Genesis chapter 1. And he was saying, what is the first thing you see me speak in the Bible? Which is, let there be light. And so I've starting my days right away, first thing in the morning when I wake up, the first words out of my mouth, let there be light. And then I like to add, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and I'm going to be glad in it. And it's amazing how that very simple little thing sets the tone for the whole day. Then we're going to get connected with God. We're going to walk out that plan together with him today with a willing heart and a good attitude, full confidence in him, that that supply is there today for whatever demands are coming our way today. Whatever that plan is, whatever the demands are of the day, the supply is there. It's sufficient. It's more than enough for today. It's always balanced, and I would say it's always balanced in God's favor. It's always more than enough. He's always over and above. And when we get to that place of confident faith, this grace begins to surge through us and he begins to go to work. He begins to beautify our lives and bring these beautiful solutions like we talked about. And beauty is attractive and magnetic and just begins to pull more and more of all that God has for us into our lives. Let's talk about supply and demand, balancing supply and demand. God is our source of supply. And he's always more than enough, but we have to learn. I think this new covenant, the tables have been turned. We have to learn to put that demand on him. And I think the easiest way to think about this is, where's the pressure? I always think of it like a garden hose. If you step on the middle, you put a kink in the middle of the hose, it blocks the flow. We have a tendency in life, we've been taught all our lives, to put the pressure on other people, to put demands on them, to put the pressure on ourselves, to put a high level of demand on ourselves. And I think where this demand is supposed to go, where this pressure is supposed to go, is onto God's supply. Because he's the one who can handle it. He's the one who's more than enough. He's sufficient for it. I always think about this scripture. God is able to make all grace abound to you. So having all sufficiency in all things, you can abound to every good work. He's got all sufficiency for every demand, for every good work that's required. It's more than enough. So Heavenly Father, we're just going to take communion over this today. We thank you for this abundant supply, that you are more than enough. We're asking for wisdom and insight into this, to help us understand this, to have hearts that understand this supply and demand, how it's balanced. And we're asking for your help to walk in this at a greater level, the way you designed us to. We thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's just take a moment to remember both sides of this cross. All that he went through on one side. You take a moment to just visualize. But on the other side, he's raised back to life. And that same victorious power over death now lives on the inside of us. Connects us back to God, connects us back to our Heavenly Father. We become his children. And he becomes our source of supply. He makes us right. He fills us with his righteousness, his holiness, his perfection, his beauty, so much more. So Father, we thank you for this bread. I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant. In my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness, the Bible tells us. He releases us from darkness. He transfers us into the light. We can have this personal relationship with him. And I believe as you start walking in this, as we start walking in this, we start experiencing him supplying, meeting the need every time, always being more than enough in our life. It's just going to help us to know him that much more. His grace and his love and his goodness. So, Father, we thank you for this cup. And I ask you to bless it in Jesus' name. If you have a juice, you can take a juice. All right, let's talk about health and fitness. How do we practically apply this? We've been talking about over the last couple of days, God is supplying. He's supplying today the health and the energy and the strength and the endurance, also the time that we need. He's supplying it for our physical bodies to get exercise today. Physical exercise, a physical representation of exercising our faith, needs to be exercised every day. Our faith needs to be exercised every day. And I want you to think about, how can I increase slowly over time, increase the demand on my body, trusting that the source of supply is there? Now, don't go crazy. Don't beat your body down overly over the top right away. Start small. Increase the demand today. And then over time, gradually increase that demand as we begin to trust more and more and put our confidence in that supply. The body has amazing capacity to do more and more work, higher levels of work. The body has amazing capacity. We've got to increase the demand on it a little bit. And where's that pressure, though? The pressure's not on us. It's on God to supply. It's learning to practically walk in this. Once you understand how to do it, you can apply this into other areas of your life as well. But I hope this has been helpful for you today. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.